Term limits, should we or shouldn't we? Should we be electing monarchs for life? Or should we take away the rights of citizens to vote for the people they want to choose? Or are these just bad straw men? Let's find out today when Opinions Collide, we talk about term limits. Hi. I'm John Arthur Fiala, your host on When Opinions Collide, and today I'm joined by Charlie Pomeroy and John Fiala. How are you today, gentlemen?
Doing great, John Arthur.
Wonderful, John Arthur. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So, it's a real conversation that's been going on ever since the 1990s. We've been talking about term limits as a serious issue. That was part of the Republican contract,
yep.
And they never got it done. So now that we're back here, even today, we're talking about term limits, and it seems to go back and forth on who's on which side of the stick. Now, there are some people who are intellectually consistent, and they run all the way through, and they have their thoughts. I believe I have two of those gentlemen here today, and I'd love to hear their opinion. I hope you do, too, because that's what we're on about today. So with that, Mr. Pomeroy, go ahead and give us 5 minutes on your opinion on why you believe that we should have term limits.
Well, John Arthur, you brought up something really interesting during that little opening there. And yes, back in the 90s, they did try to do that. And that was part of the contract with America, if you recall. Newt Gingrich, and let me just say, I felt like Newt Gingrich did something there for America that was truly powerful, and we have not seen until President Trump has gotten into office. And he really, Newt Gingrich was trying to put the power back where it was supposed to be. You go back to Reagan, you get into the Reaganomics issue and things like that. Reagan was a no government person. I want you to think about that for a moment. No government. It's not that there is no government, but less government. Let's word it like that. That's what he really wanted. Newt Gingrich was the same way. Now, here's the deal when it comes to term limits. Term limits is a problem if we don't learn how to control ourselves in political office. And what we have today is we have a bunch of people. We won't mention, yeah, we will. We'll mention names. The Kennedys, who were in office for so long. Nancy Pelosi is, in with all due respect, she is almost turned into a statue there. That's how long she's been there. Robert Byrd, the longest serving senator, Robert Byrd. Oh, hey, how about Mr. John Dingell? Now, look, those things, those people right there, I'm not saying that they haven't done good things for their districts, okay? And by the way, just so I'm fair, we can talk about Mitch McConnell. Yep, we can do that. We can talk about one of our senators here from Texas. I don't have a problem doing that. We can talk about Ted Kennedy. We can talk about some of the Republican senators and congressmen, congresswomen that have been in office for so many years. Guys, here's the problem. This is what this leads to. It leads to an abuse of power because you've learned how to work the system. I understand the arguments for having no term limits. I understand that. But let me tell you something. I think there is a way to work around those issues. The problem is we've got people that have been in power. They want more power. They're getting it. And now they're wielding it like you wouldn't believe. The Adam Schiffs of this world, the Nancy Pelosi's of this world, would have a very difficult time doing what they're doing right now if they hadn't been in power for so many years. That's just a fact. And I'm not opposed to moving Republican people out too. What's fair is fair, and what's right is right. I think my personal opinion on this, there's probably not anything that has done as much damage to the political system as the absence of term limits. And we haven't even talked about lifetime judgeship appointments, and we will. Those are the things that need to be dealt with if we're going to have a really good republic. And that's what we desperately need right now. And I'll tell you, I give a lot of kudos to President Trump for standing up to some of the garbage that has gone on. With the Flynn case turning out the way it is right now, That's a travesty. That's wrong. And look, regardless of your views on your political opponents, if they've been duly elected, they deserve the opportunity to govern the way that they want, as long as they do it within the law. Okay? And that's the Democrats will tell you that's what the whole thing with Trump is. But they are going and searching. They have totally mocked the way that our justice system works. So term limits is a necessity to keep sanity in our government.
Well, thank you, sir. I think that's a really interesting and well thought out opinion, and I have a lot of sympathy for it. With that said, I'd like to turn to John Fiala, who actually has a different opinion. And John Fiala, you've got 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you, John Arthur. Term limits, there's a challenge. There's some problems with that. To do that, we have to institute more government. We were talking about less government a little bit ago. And the biggest challenge is that that's more government, more legislation. But here's what's happening. Term limits were originally back in the Roman days is when those concepts first came up. But in the states here, it came up because of one single president who ran amok and in many people's minds. And yeah, he did some damage. He did a lot of damage, but he was still doing what he was paid to do. He's hired help. He's a president, and however you want to look at it, he's hired help. He's temp help. As Charlie pointed out, there are some help out there that those judges, most of them are hired help, but there are a few that are temp help, and there are some that are permanent for life. But in this case, when the people choose and they elect an individual to represent them, they have the right to next election not reelect them. And to that end, there are individuals that somehow manage to stay in office a lot longer than individuals expect or that many of us wish they would or could or shouldn't, because they're a thorn in the opposing political views. But that's part of what makes up this nation. And that's complex citizenship. In this nation, complex citizenship is going out to the park and defending somebody's right to stand on the soapbox and yell and scream at the top of their voice that which you would spend a lifetime opposing, and even defend people that would come out and throw fruit at them or vegetables or even try to attack them and take them out with your blood, when you would stand against their views with everything you have. So this is complex citizenship, being able to put up with the fact that the other people are saying and doing wrong things, and it's absolutely abominable to what we believe. Now, on the flip side of that, there are senators and representatives, elected officials that have been in office for a while, and including judges. Charlie mentioned those, and I think it's good to keep those listed there, that they've achieved a lot of experience and understanding on how the system works, and they continue to do a lot of good. There are many that are using that same level of experience to do bad. To that end, there are ways to prosecute that. And once an individual has violated their constitutional oath of office, technically they're not allowed to exercise the rights, authority, or privileges of office. And to that end, the American people has put up with a lot of people violating their constitutional oath of office and not done a thing about it. There's a particular individual from California that voted for all kinds of things, including gun legislation. And when it comes to like gun legislation, and you want to talk about judicial reform, just walk into the courtroom and when somebody's being prosecuted for like wrongful carry of a firearm, and ask the judge, where in the Constitution does it exclude my right to keep and bear a firearm in your courtroom? And under 18 U.S.C. 241, it specifically states that for somebody to conspire to deprive you of those rights, security, or immunities preserved by the Constitution or other laws of the state or federal government, under color of law, and it says under color of law, like in California, when they said you only have a 10-round magazine and all this stuff, it says the right to keep and bear firearms shall not be infringed upon. Some individuals were saying, well, that was for hunting, you know, and this and that. No, we just thrown off a tyrannical government. And in the preamble of the Constitution makes it very clear that when we perceive that there are challenges and wrongdoing, it's our not just our privilege or our right, but our responsibility to throw that off. And to that end, the guns were there for that. And that's a lot of these individuals that are coloring outside the lines don't like that. And the term limits, you know, if we have problems with individuals in office, this is just one example that if senators and representatives have voted for gun legislation, they've technically conspired under 18 U.S.C. 241. And just that's a very short statute, 18 U.S.C. 241, to deprive you of your rights. So let's have them prosecuted under felony and let's remove them from office. There's your reform for judicial reform and senators. And there's a little bit later on, we'll get into a lot more of the statutes and things that individuals have done wrong to get them removed from office. Because the moment they violate their constitutional oath of office, it says everyone who serves in office will take an oath to support and uphold the Constitution. The moment they violated that, they no longer have the right or privileges to exercise the authority of that office.
Wow, that's quite a mouthful. And I'm looking forward to digging into this a little bit further. So from what I'm understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, both of you, what I'm hearing is we have from Mr. Pomeroy, the term limits side is that we do have an abuse of power. We have an oligarchic structure, something that is not lent well towards liberty. Now, from the other side that would oppose term limits, what I'm hearing is there are protections in place against such oligarchic measures. People have got an option. They can always vote. People also have another option. They can always prosecute bad behavior. If someone is acting malevolently, we can prosecute them. That's what I think I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong, both of you.
Well, John Arthur, that's true. And let me just say there's one small area that I agree with John on this thing. When it comes to, yes, we can prosecute, understood. The problem is this. Look at what we're doing today, federally speaking. Okay, what is it that Adam Schiff is doing? What is it that Nancy Pelosi is doing? They are tying up the courts. They are tying up Congress and the Senate, trying to find the stuff that they can dig up enough so that they can impeach Trump. That's all they've done for 3 years. Now, if you want to talk about three people or two people that should really be thrown out, we can throw Chuck Schumer in there too. But the thing is, if you want to talk about people that can be prosecuted, those are two people that can be prosecuted. And guess what's not going to happen? It's not. Nobody's going to prosecute them. Nobody. And do you think that the voters are going to throw them out? Do you think I would throw out Nancy Pelosi if she were the one that I wanted in office? I'm not going to throw her out. I'm a voter. I'm not throwing her out. Do you think I would throw out Chuck Schumer if he's doing for New York what I really want him to do? I'm not going to throw him out. We have allowed these people to get in here, and they have started to benefit from an abuse of power. They are learning how to work the system, and they are working it sweetly. That's where this issue is. I do agree with John on this. If we were a country that could govern ourselves decently and in order, he is absolutely right. We have the pieces in place to take care of people like this. I would agree with that small piece.
So, John Fiala, would you like to respond to that?
Thank you, John Arthur. Yeah, there's a throwing him out of office. You're right, Charlie. Nobody's going to do that. Those individuals that voted him into office, I've talked to individuals that personally like Nancy's politics. In California, I've talked to even family members that like her politics and the direction she's going. At the same time, we need to address the bad behavior and not put another layer of government qualifications and law on top of bad behavior that's only treating the symptoms. When somebody has an infection in their foot and an abscess, it's true, treating the symptoms like giving them an antibiotic is a good thing, or giving something for the pain, an analgesic. But going in there and cleaning out the infection, that's the problem. Just get rid of the problem and just clean it out. And to that end, the individuals that are breaking the rules and coloring outside the lines, we need to take those individuals when they do color outside the lines, and you look at the way, and you use Nancy's name quite a few times here, look at the way she's voted and the fact that she voted also for the Patriot Act, which, think about this, the Patriot Act does not supersede the Constitution. It talks about usurping your right to due process, meaning that they can go in and seize funds, and that they can have banks now investigate and go over your information without probable cause. They go, the Patriot Act expects them to go, the banks, they're pressured into going on fishing expeditions to take away your rights to find probable cause when they have none. And to that end, they're destroying your right to do business, have financial transactions hidden that can affect your financial plans and business plans and strategies for moving into different marketplaces. And individuals, and some people say, well, nobody would ever tell somebody else about your financial transactions. Well, we've learned in the past that that's absolutely not true, but they can now publish your financial transactions, and other individuals can see that you're collecting funds and you're in the machine shop market, and you're considering possibly acquiring this other machine shop business. And somebody else will tell that machine shop, hey, look, you pay me some money and I'll show you how to avoid this and even make money off of it.
And aren't we glad that we've got somebody like a Rand Paul in the Senate? I mean, don't get me wrong, there's times when his stuff just irritates me. But you know, the one thing that I really appreciate about Rand Paul, he's looking out for the citizens' liberties. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there, brother. But at the same time, addressing this issue of term limitations, we're trying to deal with it like an abscess on our foot with analgesics rather than antibiotics and surgical procedures. And at this juncture, we need to go in there and take the infection. And individuals, senators and representatives that voted for the Patriot Act, and have them removed from office for depriving you of your rights of due process for search and seizure, and without having a probable cause for forcing bankers that are feel like they're being held at hostage to keep and maintain surveillance on you, putting the price on the cost of maintaining that surveillance on you, the taxpayer, in the local bank, rather than the government, which doesn't have it and isn't supposed to have it, because your financial transactions are supposed to be private. But any one of these senators that voted for that, they've colored outside the lines. Let's go prosecute them. And the ones that, if you're not comfortable with somebody with term limits, go to a federal magistrate, and it says you're required to swear out a warrant. And if you're worried about it gets summarily dismissed, seek class action and get five or more individuals so that it can't be summarily dismissed, and file a lawsuit. And you can file a lawsuit to take them for everything they own. And that's 42 USC 1983. That's a statute. It's the same thing as 18 USC 242 or 241, but those are criminal, but this is civil. And you can make money on it. You can make a good income. It says that you can.
The thing is, though, with these actions that you're talking about, yeah, we could potentially do these. But you're talking about a group of people, and I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats alike, that are protecting each other. I mean, here's a case in point. When Joe Biden and Lindsey Graham started working in the Senate together, they're working across the aisle. And isn't that what Americans want? Absolutely. Well, when they become buds in all of that, and then the heat gets on, like it's on Joe Biden right now, what does Joe Biden expect Lindsey Graham to do? You're going to support me, dude. I mean, we've been buds. And the problem is that, and I will say this for Lindsey Graham, he's not bending very much for Joe Biden. But the thing is that that's not typical of our politicians today. Getting these guys thrown out is, to me, much more difficult than just running up to the courthouse and filling out those forms. This is going to require something bigger, badder, better. And that's why when Newt Gingrich took this thing on, and I really wished that had flown through, it is the one part of his time there that was disappointing. But his heart was right. The thing of it was, term limits needed to be enacted then. And that would have been great. There's other aspects of this issue that we haven't talked about yet that make for what I feel is a little better support of not doing term limits. But in my mind, I think there's ways to navigate the waters. And John, you brought up that you felt like this would add on a layer of governing. I don't think it does at all. It might add a law, but I don't think it adds a layer of governing. I think our politicians can deal with all these things, even with term limits. And I think throwing judges out every so often is a good thing to do. We've got, and here's another classic case. I'm going to bring his name up. Who's our judge up there right now on the Flynn case? His name is slipping me real quick. But the thing is, if he knew that ruling as, and I'm going to say it because I think this is right, he's ruling as a politician, not a judge. He's not looking at the law. As a matter of fact, he's circumventing law for the benefit of what he wants. He's the kind of judge that needs to be prosecuted and removed. He's the kind of judge that needs to be impeached. And guess what's not going to happen? And that's why we need term limits. That's why we need to get this stuff done. And that's why our political system is being destroyed right now. It's because we're allowing people to develop too much power and they abuse it.
So let me flip that on its head for a minute and ask you a question. You just said that those people need to be prosecuted. If you think those people are actually doing wrong, isn't that the citizens' duty to do that? I mean, frankly, the corruption is at the political level.
You're John Arthur, you bring up something that is spot on right. And let me just say this. The reason that we're in the situation that we're in right now is because Americans are not engaged. That is the bottom line. When your favorite representative is in office for two terms, tell me how many times you think about that person when you go to the voting booth. Did you look up their voting record for the last term? Probably not. And unless it was something that was plastered all over CNN, ABC, CBS, Fox News, blah, 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 it doesn't matter. As long as your life hasn't been upset by a politician, you're not even going to think about it. So when you go to the voting booth, ding, you checked them, they're in. That's not what we need. So John Arthur, the point that you brought up right there is exactly right. But let me add one more thing that kind of flips that on its head. How many citizens would even know how to go about even doing that? A lot of people are not engaged in our political system because they don't think they have enough knowledge to do it. And the thing is, the government is for us.
Well,
we are the government. We can do this.
I agree.
I think more people have gotten engaged in the political system in the last 20 years than we've seen in a long time. And it's because people are sick and tired of the way things are being done.
Oh, absolutely. But I think the biggest problem is we have fallen to the greatest conflict of interest. Oh, excuse me. I believe we've fallen to the greatest conflict of interest in that we've actually given the government the duty of teaching our children. I mean, when we're telling, when the government is in charge of teaching our children and there are no good watchdogs over this, I mean, that's really where you start to have a conflict of interest. Who's teaching the civics classes?
Yes.
The government. So guess who, guess what happens when people change their ideas, or rather they don't, and the government is allowed to mold and form young minds. But that's probably not the topic for today. But that's, again, it falls on the citizenry.
Going back, I'd like to go back to something Charlie said. Charlie, you were talking about that the individuals, you know, that on term limits there, that they're not engaged. Well, think about this. Federally, to have term limits, it would require a constitutional amendment. It's not going to be something that's passed lightly. And this is where Newt, and bless his heart, he worked very hard against it, hit the wall, and there was no way he was going to get a constitutional amendment on term limits when individuals that are enjoying the benefits of that office are, and the tenure and the pay and the fact that they are permanently set for life, they are not going to vote themselves out of those benefits like that. So there is no way in this green earth that many of those have the temerity of character to say, yes, I'm willing to step down. It's going to cost me financially, and I may actually have to go to work later on in life, because how many of those individuals have the temerity of character to be willing to step up to vote for a constitutional amendment? So to that end, if you file a 42 USC 1983 civil suit against a senator or representative, and you seek class action status, which is five people, okay, they can't summarily dismiss it. Now, some people say, well, John, this is criminal. Okay, Charlie, you're right if you say that. I agree with you. And some people say, well, getting a federal prosecutor to go after a senator is non-existent. Hold on. Well, what does the preamble start out? We the people. This is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. When the people, whether the rights aren't reserved for them or left for the local government, and what's not is left over is left for the state, and what's not reserved for the state is left for the federal government. And when the people don't have time, aren't able to, aren't capable of, don't have the skill set, or don't feel safe doing something, they hire help. You know, sanitation workers, dock workers, longshore, police officers, judges, senators, representatives, presidents, governors. Oh, by the way, those last five, they're all temp help. They're hired help. And the only reason that that federal prosecutor has the authority they have is because you and I, we the people, have conveyed that to them. Those rights and privileges of the people, those inalienable rights, were never surrendered or abdicated to the hired help. So when it comes to the federal prosecutor, the state prosecutor saying, I don't want to prosecute this, I'm sorry, you don't have a choice. I just swore out a warrant, and I've got 10 other people that are swearing out the same warrant. You know, and if you can't do the job, you're done. That's it. No questions. You're done. If you can't do the job, you're done. You're out. And we'll file against you. Okay? And that's all there's to it. The bad behavior must be prosecuted. And that one only takes 10 people, 10 or 15 people to start judicial reform or political reform.
Wow. So I'm loving this. However, we're going to have to catch this on the other side of the break. Thank you, gentlemen. You are listening to When Opinions Collide. If you're in Houston, that'd be Edge Radio, 1540 AM, 1017 FM in Pasadena. Thank y'all, and I'll see you on the other side of the break. And we're back. I'm John Arthur Fiala, your host. Glad to have you back. Now, want to kind of dig in here for a little bit. Dynastic politics is something that no matter which side of the aisle you're on, there are a lot of folks who have gotten very tired of seeing certain last names running through both sides of the aisle. Everyone has gotten kind of sick of it. However, let me ask you, John Fiala, what would you say to those people who would like to instigate term limits? In fact, before you do, I'm reading off Wikipedia here. The words oligarchical and dangerous were used by our founding fathers in 1789 when they were going to not put term limits in. What would be your response to that?
The people have a right to choose all the time. And when somebody's misbehaving, punish the misbehavior. Send a message to all the rest that this person just either went to jail, is going to be serving long-term either in Danbury or San Quentin, or that they just lost their house and everything that they purchased off of their salary for the so many years because they broke the rules, violated the trust of the American public. Take it away from them, send a message to the rest. That's judicial reform. That's political reform.
Okay, then. I think I like your style. That's quite something else. So, Mr. Pomeroy, on the flip side of the coin, we ended up without term limits. Our founding fathers decided that actually at the end of the day, the Electoral College, the fact that judges were nominees and that they were impeachable, were our safeguards against these oligarchic structures. What would you say to that side of the argument? This is ultimately what our founding fathers settled on. And I happen to know or happen to believe that you are actually a constitutional originalist. Your thoughts? Yeah.
And I'll tell you, can somebody please bring back Antonin Scalia? I mean, boy, that's anyway, I digress for a moment. But if you really... I'll tell you what I would have told the founding fathers if I had the opportunity to chat with them. You guys screwed it up. Should have had them. And I guarantee you, I promise you, if they stood here today and they saw what was going on in this nation, they would stand there and go, you see, we were right. You see, we were right. I can see it. Okay. So let's get to what you had asked about. You talked about having the ability to impeach. You absolutely do. Here's the difficulty, John Arthur. Our society, our country right now is so polarized that we can't get anything done. Do you know why Congress can't get anything done? They can't get anything done because the people can't get anything done. That's the problem. It's not with our congressmen. It's the people that we're electing to put into office. So we've got a 50-50 faction going at each other right now. That's where the issue lies. It's not with the system. It's people. And if the people can't do it, well, obviously we're hurting. The impeaching process was there as a safeguard. Absolutely. But when we are so factionalized right now like we are, there is no way we're going to be able to impeach and get anything done. You'll bring impeachment after impeachment. By the way, mark this down. President Trump will not get impeached. I'm sorry. He may get impeached again. He will not be convicted. It ain't going to happen. And the reason is because, and people are smart enough to figure this out now. Do you think that the Senate's going to go on the Democrat side this next election? Uh-uh. Because they know what kind of damage that's going to do. There's big issues on this, John Arthur. And just being able to walk away and say, hey, we've got safeguards in place, that's not enough.
Well, you know, you've got some interesting points there. And I think it's an interesting question. However, our founding fathers would say that this nation was built for those who had a Judeo-Christian moral ethic. And without that ethic, this country will fail. So I suppose if they figured that we had fallen so far from morality that we got to this place, that they would change their mind. But I don't know. That's an interesting question. So John Fiala, let me go ahead and throw this at you. FDR was a very, very well-loved president by a lot of people, and we got term limits imposed on him. However, there are a lot of people that say that putting that term limit is something that saved us from an oligarchy. You look at Israel, and there's been a huge amount of conversation, whether you like Netanyahu or not, there's been a huge conversation about how long he's been in office. Let me flip it on the opposite side of the head there. Putin has been around for a very long time, and he's actually managed to, by force and by actually doing things that don't necessarily happen as often in the States, maintain power. What are your thoughts about putting term limits in there to safeguard our structure?
You know, the Constitution is very, very clear on the impeachment process and how that's to be handled, including the House of Representatives and their role in that. It also addresses high crimes and misdemeanors. And when an individual has been prosecuted and convicted of high crimes and misdemeanors, whether they're impeached or not has nothing to do with the process. They're senators and representatives are immune from arrest while they're on their way to or from meetings or congressional. They're not immune from prosecution, from somebody swearing a warrant out from them and having him arrested or having a grand jury hearing to hand down indictments against them. They are not immune for that. And to that end, we the people are the ones that are dropping the ball on this. It's our responsibility to keep a leash on those that we put in office. It's if we don't follow up, and on this point, I do agree with Charlie. We the people are not interacting, we're not engaged, and it's our fault. Now, the thing, the approach that I'm taking about it is that it takes a lot less people to do and act and get the job done. What I'm suggesting, it does not take a majority of America or two-thirds of the Senate and the House to pass a congressional amendment with the president's approval. This, you have a senator or representative who's sued by just half a dozen people, let alone half a dozen people in every state. They're not going to be in office very long. And under 42 USC 1983, and if they, if we hand down convictions under 18 USC 241 and 242, those state that if somebody's deprived of those rights and deadly force was used or threatened, or they are kidnapping and there's no statute for wrongful arrest, it's kidnapping under color of law, that the death penalty can apply. And if we have a senator that they absolutely refuse to impeach, but she's up for the death penalty, she's not going to be in office very long. So prosecuting the bad behavior and taking care of the oligarchy breaks down real simple. Send a message, do it right, focus on one, do it one at a time. Don't spread your efforts. Just start with one, start with the worst, and then move on. And when that mister just starts making its way through, there will be a lot of attention on that. And those that are misbehaving and coloring outside the lines may start to behave and color between the lines now.
All right. So, very, very interesting. Mr. Pomeroy, I got to ask you, if we put term limits on, there are a lot of very, very good, intelligent, good politicians that are going to be taken out. One of the strongest arguments against term limits that I've heard is that what you'll end up doing is giving power to the bureaucrats. Imagine the situation. Imagine Joe Schmo comes in. He's just elected. He's got two terms to serve, or three. The guy before him was served by 80 bureaucrats and other peons. Guess who's actually in lobbyists? Guess who's actually going to be running Washington? That's the argument. What would your response be to that argument?
And that's a real concern. And I would say that the same way that you have term limits on your congressmen and congresswomen and your senators, you have it on them too. Now, just so that I'm clear here, this, and I used a couple examples earlier. We talked about Robert Byrd. A lot of people don't realize Robert Byrd was the longest serving senator in the U.S. Senate, 51 years. I'm sorry. I'm from the great state of Texas, and I don't even want a senator serving that long here. I don't care how good you are. That is not what we need. So the issue is well made. The point is well made that you'll have bureaucrats that are running it. The same way that you have term limits for the people serving it in office is the same way that you do term limits for them as well. You might keep them around a little bit longer, but you also force them out. There's a lot of people that get into law. Here's a couple of suggestions, and I'm not saying this is a solution. Let's take your congresspeople, okay? Let them serve 4 terms, but then you have to move out. You want to serve in the Senate? That's okay. You can serve 2 terms there. 12 years and 8 years, that's 20 years. That's plenty. The government needs to be represented by the people, not a person. People. That's what we need. And you know what? There's a lot of people going to law school. They can go in and move in and do the bureaucratic work too. Let them serve for 20 years and then you're out. Go get your own law, legal practice going. You do not need to serve in government as a bureaucrat, in office, as a judge. By the way, I'm not even opposed to having term limits on the Supreme Court justices, just FYI. But there's more than Antonin Scalia that can make a good jurist. So as much as I loved him, I have no problem saying, look, there's other people that can serve. And there are. There's no reason why we can't do that. I am a person that believes in making sure that our government can function. The point that is made about the bureaucrats is a good one. It's one of the better ones, but it's not enough to convince me that we can't do term limits. It's something that needs to be dealt with as well, no doubt, but it's something that can be done.
You know, I might have to follow up with Charlie.
Go ahead.
He's right. Charlie has a point. It can be done. You know, you get a constitutional amendment, Charlie, and you get the people to do it, and hey, sick 'em doggy, you know, you can get that done. But I'm a man who believes you can only fight the battles that you can fight, and the other ones you're wasting your time. Yep. You know, and for those of us who are over 23 and don't have that many shopping days left in front of us, this is murder turn 23. I don't know what I'm going to do when I hit 26. But we can't spend all of our time and our days fighting that one last getting that term limit thing, that constitutional amendment. And then after we're gone, the individuals are still coloring outside the lines and misbehaving. We need to start a point where the American people get so shocked that when their senator, their representative is now arrested or has been sued, and it's now public knowledge that they've had everything taken away from them. And some people say, well, the judges won't let that. Well, when you request a trial by jury, now there's not one judge, there's 12.
Yeah, and you know what, John? That's a great point. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the things, and I've done prison ministry for 21 years, 21 plus years. When I used to go into the prison, here's the first thing that I noted. They've lost their rights. Why is it that a politician, when they get arrested, they don't lose their rights?
Charlie, those rights are inalienable, even in the prison. And like the state of Florida says, if somebody's been arrested that they can't own a firearm, I'm sorry, that's an inalienable right. That's something that's by the Second Amendment. That people that are enforcing that are coloring outside the lines, and you're right, that needs to end. Those individuals in prison need to be punished, but they still have their rights. Their rights are not suspended. They're not, their ID card and humanity and their citizenship in America was never taken away. And remember, even a lot of people throw the word citizenship in America and that the Constitution applies. No, it applies to everyone on these borders within this soil. And that prison, they still have those rights. And the people they're taking away from them, the reason they're doing it is because they can get away with it. But you prosecute enough of them, and if a judge says, well, I'm sorry, jury, I didn't like your decision, I'm overturning it. we've seen a couple of cases, even a capital murder case where a judge overturned that. That judge was breaking the rules, and he should have been prosecuted instantaneously. And that wasn't a legal judgment. Okay, when we have a judge overrule the people he serves, that the only reason he has authority is because they've temporarily conveyed part of their authority to him. They haven't abdicated it or surrendered it. They've conveyed it to him. He does not have the right, while he is being paid as an individual, as an employee, to usurp his employers. The hired help never got that right, and the inalienable rights of the employer were never abdicated or surrendered to the hired help.
All right, so that's quite a bit there. So I think it's time to give Mr. Pomeroy some time. We kind of had it back and forth in the form of a response there, Mr. Pomeroy. So we're about halfway through this segment. Let me go ahead and ask you another question. As far as term limits are concerned, again, I'd like to go back to, you said something very interesting. We should have some sort of limitation on the bureaucrats. Do you have some proposed way of doing that? If so, I'd love to hear it. It's an interesting policy question.
Here's what I would advocate. Number one, I don't know as I would want a person to start serving in a bureaucratic role as soon as they get out of law school. That just doesn't, I'm not comfortable with that. Okay. And by the way, you'll find that a lot of the bureaucrats up there, they're very young. And those are moldable minds. And how do we think that they learn how to abuse power? Well, they're being taught by the very people they're serving. So I'm not comfortable with that. What I would recommend is this. You get your law license and everything, and you wait 5 to 10 years, and then you can serve 20 years as a bureaucrat. That's the longest. Doesn't matter in what role, that's the longest you can serve. And whether it's with a congressperson, whether it's with a senator, whether it's with the White House, doesn't matter what it is, you get 20 years, that's it. And then you're moving on. You better figure out what else you want to do in life after those 20 years. Now, some will sit there and go, well, Charlie, that takes a person up to 50, 55 years old. And do the same things the rest of the people in America have to do. Sometimes they don't have jobs that last through to retirement. They have to learn how to start a new job when they're 55 or 60. Yeah, figure it out. It'll work, just like it does for the rest of us. So for me, just don't allow them to start right off when they come out of school and get their license. Let them wait a little bit, and then they can serve 20 years. You're done. Thank you for your service.
All right. Well, thank you. Interesting opinion. Let's go ahead and actually go back to some back and forth. John Fiala, you got something you want to respond to there out of what he just said?
Now that's Charlie, you made a comment there about getting a law license, having some sort of accreditation that they've learned or they've got some level of understanding of the legal system is very important for somebody who's going to serve, whether it's in the judiciary or the legislative branch or even the executive branch. That's very, very important that they have some level of conversant knowledge of that. By the way, you use the term license. Well, some people say, well, Your Honor, I have the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's a right. And you're saying if I don't have a law license, that even though I have a law degree, that I can't practice law? That's depriving me of my civil rights under color of law. And to that end, I don't think attorneys should be licensed. I think that's another layer of government. And the thing is that most of those licensing bureaus are not controlled by any government agency. So I have a challenge with that. But yeah, I do agree with you. The young should not serve in administrative or leadership positions until they've got some level of training and learning. And I think that's very, very important. And then it would be nice if, you know, after, you know, if we did that, if they did do the term limitation issue, if those senators and representatives spent their time training the new crop, which is really important, that would be a good thing. Now, we as parents in America have abdicated our responsibilities to raise our children in so many cases to the state. And sometimes all of a sudden we get upset when our children come home and they've got very contrasted opinions to what we know is correct and that they're wrong. And well, we're not their parents anymore. To quote somebody we all know and love, their parents are Axl Rose and Madonna. You know, they were raised by the state and by books that were in place that we never read or had the purview. And we as parents have failed in our job. Well, when we have senators and representatives coming into office, it would be good if we had individuals that could mentor them and help guide them. And to that end, they're having positions that would be created so that these individuals, all of a sudden, that find themselves, like you, Jonathan, were saying at 55, or you said 55, with positions that they can move into and still be an asset and a blessing to the legislative branch.
That was a interesting response. Almost sounds like you're kind of coming over to the dark side there. With that said, or the light side, I'm not quite sure which one it is, but the euphemism is the dark side. So, with that said,
I'm hoping to win this guy over before we're done.
All right.
Hey, Ant-Man.
Well, I don't know if it's possible, but I'm hoping.
So, the most common argument against term limits is we have elections, and we've talked about this a little bit. That's one of those things. I've had people say stuff like, it's rigged, you have domestic politics, you have all this other stuff. And my response is always, well, did you work the primary? Mm-hmm. No. Get your keister up and move. What would you say to folks who say that it is rigged, one way or the other? Mr. Pomeroy.
Well, get involved. Bottom line, get involved. I started working elections this last year. It's taken me way too long. I should have been involved in the process way before now. But the one thing that is absolutely true, if you want your government to work, you must get up and help make it work. And it's teamwork. And John said this earlier. He used the word abdicate. And he is spot on right about this. We have abdicated our responsibility to other people. And that's got to change. Now, I said this earlier, and I'm serious. I believe this is true. We are seeing more people engaged in the political process now in the last 10 to 20 years than we have seen in a long time. But let me tell you this too. That the length of time that it has taken to get some of those people acclimated and into this, to learn how to do some of these things has put us almost at a tipping point. And that really scares me. It scares me for my kids. It scares me for my grandkids. And I think what we need to do is we need to work harder on getting our young people involved in the political process. And I'll tell you the ones that I think, and I'm going to use a strong phrase here. I think some of our middle-aged people are asleep at the wheel. And they need to get involved as well. And look, we've got the likes of AOC doing everything that she can to get progressives into office. You take a look at what happened in Nebraska today, and you had a progressive there that beat out another middle-of-the-road Democrat. Look, those kind of Democrats, the middle-of-the-road Democrats, are the ones that really helped make America work. They were the ones that were reasonable when it come to legislating. AOC is in office And she has one absolute goal: to destroy the Republican Party and make sure that progressives rule for a long time. Guess how old she is? Yes, she's under 30. We need to get people involved in the process.
Well, on the flip side, my boy Dan Crenshaw is also under 30. I would say it really falls down to the electorate. I would not trade Dan Crenshaw out for anything. At least whatever side of the aisle you line on, at least you know the guy's got a sense of humor and wants to reach across the aisle, make things work when it's necessary. So with that, we're coming up to the end of our show here. John Fiala, any closing statements? You got 2 minutes.
Yeah, when somebody misbehaves, let's address the misbehavior. Fight the fights that we can fight. As Charlie pointed out, a lot of us folks that are older than 23 and still haven't quite hit 26, we're sitting on our keisters. We're not active. And if half a dozen or dozen of us get together, and it can be in just a neighborhood and all neighbors, get together and file a criminal complaint against our representative or the senators. And if it's your senator or your representative that's misbehaving, you have what's called justiciable standing to file, because you are criminally injured by that. And if they pass legislation that, you know, affects you, then you have justiciable standing. And if the prosecutor is not in a big hurry to try to prosecute it, just make it very clear to them: I'm sorry, my personal safety, security, and liberty, I feel, is at risk, and you're compromising that by not accepting my signed complaint here and my sworn affidavit. And to that end, do I need to file against you? And just ask them, you know, because the moment you ask them, the rules in their mind change drastically. They realize they're hired help. Use your help the way they're supposed to be.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Pomeroy.
John Arthur, I said this earlier in the show. I want to state it again. I don't know if there's anything that has done more damage to our political system than the lack of term limits. I wish the founding fathers had done it. I think they were spot on looking at what it was going to potentially lead to. It obviously has, and it's very sad. You know, We talked about some of the names earlier. I want to be clear. I don't care if they're Democrat. I don't care if they're Republican. I don't care if they're Libertarian, like Rand Paul. Look, this is where John is right. We have the ability to vote, and that's what we should do. And forcing ourselves to learn about who we're voting for is probably one of the best things that we can do. Being able to provoking a voter to think about who they're voting for because the name is different, that will do an awful lot. It will keep people from just going ahead and hitting the one button that they've always been used to hitting.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate you both for coming on. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you, John Arthur.
It's been an honor and a privilege, John Arthur. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. So, tune in next week. We should be having the To Vax or Not to Vax show, where we have a pediatrician and a biologist coming on to discuss the issues of vaccinating children. Should we or shouldn't we? It'll be a lot of fun. This has been When Opinions Collide. I'm your host, John Arthur Fiala. If you're listening terrestrially, it'll be at 1540 a.m. and 101.7 if you're in Houston. Thank you very much, and you guys have a wonderful day.